Well, Russia launched a wave of missile and drone strikes on Kyiv at the weekend in one of the heaviest bombardments since the start of the war. At least four people have been killed and dozens injured in the attacks. The Russian barrage came after President Vladimir Putin vowed to retaliate for a Ukrainian strike on the town of Starobliysk in Russian-occupied eastern Ukraine on Friday. Moscow has accused Kyiv of hitting a student dormitory, killing at least 20 people, but Ukraine maintains it struck an elite Russian military unit. Michael Bosaku is a global affairs analyst and senior fellow at the Atlantic Council and joins me now. Michael, welcome back.
Hi, good to be with you again.
More than 40 locations were hit in this attack. Why now?
Why now? Because Vladimir Putin is trying to, his ego has been bruised. He's trying to prove to his own people that Russia is strong, Russia can retaliate. Of course, we've no way of being able to prove that Ukraine struck that dormitory you mentioned and caused deaths. I think what really bothers Mr. Putin is the fact that Ukrainian strikes in Russia on their energy infrastructure have become very, very surgical. So not only targeting oil refineries, but actually the real guts, the kit that keeps these things going, but crucially, parts that are very, very difficult to replace because of sanctions. So anything that Ukraine does to strike at the heart of the very energy infrastructure that, you know, subsidizes Russia's war machine, well, that's going to really bother Mr. Putin. And I'm not surprised that he launched this massive, massive attack, the biggest on Kyiv since the start of the war.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky warned on Saturday that Russia was preparing to strike Ukraine using a special missile that reportedly travels at 10 times the speed of sound. What do we know? Was this weapon utilized on the weekend?
Yeah, according to multiple reports on both the Ukrainian and Russian side, the Russian side confirming it according to the Moscow Times. So it's called the Oreshnik missile. It travels at, multiple times the speed of sound. And I recall Mr. Putin boasting about this weapon that it can, you know, pulverize villages. The temperature that it creates is unbelievable. But interestingly, and it is, by the way, nuclear capable, but interestingly, the hit, which is the third since the start of the war on Bilotsarkva, south of Kyiv, didn't seem to cause that much damage. Don't know what happened there. But you know, what for me really crossed a red line in this attack is what they actually hit. So it included, for the first time, targets in the so-called government quarters. So the Cabinet of Ministers building, Ministry of Foreign Affairs. There was even damage in Maidan Square, which is so important to Ukrainian people, a symbol of independence. And also, this is very eerie. The Russians also strike the Chernobyl Museum in an area called Podil. Almost half of the items there are irrevocably lost. But, you know, this museum commemorates all those who lost their lives in the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, which was, of course, caused by the Russians during Soviet times. And then again, they hit it with a drone in this war. And also Russian troops are reported to have dug up soil. So this kind of Chernobyl disaster keeps on coming up and in a way infuriating Ukrainians again and again.
Michael, what's the bigger picture here as the summer fighting season is about to begin? Who's in the dominant position right now, do we know?
It's hard to say. I think the Ukrainian strategy, as I put in my world briefing newsletter, is that Ukraine is trying to do everything it can to push Russia to the negotiating table before the next winter. They're doing a pretty good job at it. But whether Russia will respond in any rational way remains to be seen. It is a bit of a gamble on Mr. Zelensky's part. But, you know, I have to say, I just gave two talks in Canada on how Ukrainians are coping. And this is what worries me the most. Well, a couple of things. One is the demographic hollowing out of Ukraine. A lot of people have left, continue to leave. But, you know, Ukrainians are strong, resilient, but they're breaking inside. And I do worry, having based in Odessa since the start of the war, when I see people up so close, talk to them, their ability to cope is really getting to the limit. So I think all of that needs to be taken into account by Zelensky, by allies. And then finally, you know, there's a lack of kids kit coming from the United States now because of the war in Iran and other commitments. So Patriot missile systems, sadly, about half of the missiles that struck Kyiv were not intercepted. So I think that indicates the lack of defensive weaponry that Ukraine has.
Michael, is the international community looking the other way?
Well, they are distracted. And, you know, good evidence of that is what UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer did the other day. One of the strongest allies of Ukraine. He actually lifted sanctions on Russian oil refined in India that makes its way to the United Kingdom because of the chokehold at the Strait of Hormuz. We all know that the molecules from this oil, from this diesel and jet fuel came from Russia. I think that was a regressive move. I think it would have been better to explain to folks back home, look, times are tough, cope with it. But Mr. Putin cannot be rewarded by loosening of sanctions. So that's what worries me as well, is that not only is the West distracted, but it's under extreme pressure to find alternative sources of energy, even if it originates from Russia.
Michael, good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.